Good morning, everyone. As Andrew said, my name is Atengosi Ati Mayinje. I was born in Port Elizabeth, and I'm just going to share a bit about what we do. But first, I'd like to say thank you to Andrew and Pastor Trevor and the Lighthouse Church for giving me the platform to come and address you guys about the various aspects of my life. And yeah, this morning, when Andrew asked if I would like to share a bit more about what I do, you know, I'll just say yes, because it's my passion. And if there's one thing I can speak about for an ample amount of time to people, is that. So I wasn't really too worried about what am I going to say, because it's already within me. And you know, I shared this at the conference in one of the breakaway sessions, and my topic was the traffic jam. So the theme was those who wait, and my topic was the traffic jam. And I spoke about how I, during COVID, I was stuck in a traffic jam. Everyone was. But during COVID, I saw it as an opportunity to separate myself from the rest. So instead of me waiting in that car, I got out that car and I decided, you know, let me put it on my own efforts. So I started running, you know. So picture you stuck in a traffic jam, but you can't move. Now your thought process is any sort of movement is better than no movement. So now you get out that car, and even if the destination you may not be close, but because you're running, you're feeling like you're moving at least, while everyone else is sitting back. And I put that on my own efforts to say, okay, when things open up, it's going to be a breakthrough. If I run, when those robots open up or whatever's blocking that highway opens up, I'll be so far ahead of the others that I'll have a head start, you know. And it's only when I got to when things opened up and I got to Valcom, and I was playing for the Griffins after playing for Eastern Province for so many years, and when I got there, I was like, I mean, nothing can happen, you know, that would be wrong, because I put in the effort, I put in the time, and, you know, this is my season, this is my breakthrough season, and this is what I'm telling myself. And it was first warm-up game, I get the ball, first touch, break the line, pass it, and I get tackled late. We score a try, I get tackled late, and my knee goes. First touch, first 10 minutes. And when I hit that gap, I was like, yeah, this is what I worked for. You know, I was like, yeah, you know, I got new wheels now. And when I gave the pass and the guy scores, the guys were celebrating, you know, I was still on the ground. And when I got up, you know, I could feel my knee. I've had a history of knee injuries, so I could feel it. You know, and you're optimistic about that. It won't be too bad. But that was it for me for that season. So I left EP, I left PE to say I'm going to go somewhere else and maybe it's going to work out for me there. And I put it on my efforts. I left the car and I said, if I run, if I do it, you know. And there was a point where I sat in the car and I was crying and I was speaking to God and just asking him that if it's not for me, then, you know, it's okay. And it's a tough place to be where you have to sit with yourself and you sit with God and you speak about your dream. And through that, I gained the insight that I was aiming at a destination. I was thinking destination. I was thinking, you know, box. I was thinking breakthrough. And God was saying destiny. So through that traffic jam, the way I was running at the destination, knowing I need to get there. But God showed me destiny. And I decided, you know, I can't chase this game much longer in every part of South Africa, even Valcom's not the nicest part. You know? And I decided to come home. And when I came home, I was like, okay, I'm done with rugby. I'm going to go study in Spain. I'm going to play a bit. I'm going to get my master's, honors, master's, and then work for the UN, you know, and help people. And I was hell-bent on that, but was it really about helping people, or was it about me escaping and just going to be somewhere where no one knows me and just restarting and see what I can make of myself? But it was through those thoughts that God told me that you want to go work for the UN so you can help people when you already know where the help is needed. And that's next door. That's right next to you. That's in Motherwell. That's in New Brighton. That's in Zwide. So you want the world to qualify you first in order to give back where you already know where you the work you can do there, where you're already qualified to give back there, where your purpose qualifies you and not the world, and what I put in you qualifies you. And it was with that I started Love Sport Africa, which is an organization, and the whole theme behind it was going back to schools, because I've seen in the township schools, not many schools have sporting programs at all, especially after COVID. And I've seen firsthand, and I'm sure many can attest firsthand to the benefits of sport. So it was my sport where I looked at a destination, but God showed me destiny. So I didn't necessarily reach the pinnacle, but I found my purpose. And that sport was planted to me at the age of 9. So it's like, how many kids are missing out on fundamental developmental traits because there is no longer a sporting program? So I got involved in Motherwell Primary School, a primary school there called Fumisukoma, and I ran a Rugby for Women Empowerment manual, a manual in which we created just before COVID through meeting someone that changed my life, but that's a whole different story. So we created this manual after a conference in Germany, and we selected gender equality, and my expertise was in the sporting sector, and my sport of choice was obviously rugby. So we created this rugby for women empowerment to eradicate gender equality. So we ran, it's a rugby 101 basically, walking and passing in the beginning. It's a 12-week program, and it's also a life skill program. So the life skills that we ran in the first few weeks was trust. So you'd blindfold a child, and then you'd make them walk through obstacles and how the teammates would direct. So it's that sort of manual where it's not rugby-based specifically, but it also tackles life skills and certain things about life. So I got involved in that. I ran it in the primary school, which is, it's mostly for high school teenagers. And we ran it in the primary school in 2021, and it was a huge success. Doesn't matter how tired you are, but if you're coming or you're parking your car and you got a bunch of kids, you know, around the car, almost trying not to run over one, and soon as you open the boot, everyone just wants to help. Let me grab a bag, coach. Let me grab this. And you got 60 kids waiting there. You know, that's one thing one positive about working with kids is that you can't be in a bad mood, because they're just, like, they don't understand, you know, they're poking you, like, say something, do something, you know. So I'm very much grateful for that. And I think Auntie Debbie helped me. We had a prize giving for those kids, because I believe that acknowledgement is the epitome of any relationship. And we had those kids come up in front of the school, and they got their medals from the principal and their whole school just acknowledging them. And you could see them beam with pride. You know, you can see them start to dream. You can see them have a sense of identity of, you know, I'm an outlier. You know, and yes, a lot of them were girls. A lot of them were young girls. And I'm sure they were ridiculed when they picked up their hand to say, I'm going to play rugby. But now everyone is clapping for them. And now they're walking with that sense of, you know, you can see it in their face when a child gets called and they're about to get a medal. And their face is just, you know, it's almost like a daze. So that sparked something there. So thank you to Auntie Debbie for that, for organizing those medals. And then this year, I decided to go to the high school, which has been an incredible journey, running the Rugby for Women Empowerment now, how it should be ran. And we started in Motherwell High, and we started there with the girls. And I still remember when I think back now to our first session and where these girls are now, it's incredible, because I remember them asking, Coach, do I have to fall now? You know? And, I mean, it's not the greatest field as I would have asked the same thing. I was like, what you mean? This is rugby. I mean, I'll show you. And when I was wearing darker clothes, and I'll show them falling on the ground, on the gravel there. But one thing that I taught them is that this is all we have, and we have to be faithful to it in this. So if we're going to wait until there's greener fields, then we won't be the rugby players that we're meant to be. And that's just through life in general. So we got involved with the girls, and 2 weeks later, a guy came and said, you guys need to play. You need to play a game. They're trying to organize a provincial team, so they're trying to very quickly make something. You know how Eastern Province rugby is? Yeah, you guys need to play in 2 weeks. That was our first week there, I think, in 2 weeks. You know, so we had to quickly upskill the girls so that they're rugby ready before. So the life skill part, we had to slowly just put in the back burner while we upskill these girls. And I wasn't there for the first game because I was playing. And I just saw a video of my mom running because she's a teacher there at Emmanuel High. I saw a picture of her running and jumping, and I heard the girls won. So, I mean, it was a great start for them. So we had to take it further. So now there was games every week. So the girls played, and eventually 8 of them got selected for the Eastern Province under 16 and under 18 sides. And I remember taking them to one of the excursions, one of the first games they played after the selection of the provincial game was against NMU, at NMU. And for them, it was a big thing. Well, for us as a collective, it was a big thing because they got to see the university. And the reason that I was placed there is to provide them with these opportunities. That's why I felt like I needed to be there. So I'm like, guys, this is where you guys are going to play. NMU has a women's team now. This is where you guys look around you. There's a res. This is where you might stay. You know, and for a lot of those girls, it was the first time going to Summerstrand. It was their first time seeing a university. You know, and I was like, this is possible for you guys. They played on a nice green, beautiful green field. I'm sure they were very happy. And that day, they were singing, you know, and we lost pretty much 49-0. We got a hiding. But it was okay. It was okay. And then from there, we took them to the stadium where I was playing against, I think we were playing against the Griffins or the Falca for Eastern Province. And I remember how excited they were. You know, they were wearing their powder blue school jerseys. And there's a video of them singing near the, as you enter the stadium, and they're singing full voice. And there's a couple of other guys that, strangers that joined in, you know, because they saw the spirit, they saw the, you know, the joy within these kids that sang the whole game, that on the way out, you know, they wanted to join them and sing with them. And I remember telling them, girls, this is going to be you. This is going to be you guys. You guys are going to wear this red and black jersey. And I'm going to be sitting watching you one day. You know, and I'll be cheering for you one day. And it happened. They got Eastern Province colors. And they were going to go to Valcom. See? I was like, yes, that's unlucky. Eh? Well, could have been Cape Town. You know? So they were going to go to Valcom. And for them, it's an excitement. You know, and the Eastern Province coaches were drilling them hard. You know, so they'd come like, yo, coach, those coaches are so mean. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm too nice on you guys, I told you. And they would run and run and run in the rain, everything. You know, because it's a provincial tournament, so now they have to make the step up. And the girls, I remember one of the girls' parents had to fundraise, you know, money to get that girl toiletries so that she could leave. And not, you know, be the odd one out. Toiletries, pajamas, you know, on the Friday. And typical Eastern Province style, they say they don't have money, the girls can't go to Valcom. So the girls were training for 2 weeks on this high every day from school, coming back home at 6, 7 o'clock. And on the last day, where they were supposed to get their kit to leave tomorrow, the coaches didn't have the heart to tell them during the session, so they let them train, and then after the session, they got them together and they told them, girls, unfortunately, Eastern Province doesn't have money, and you guys, we're no longer going to Valcom. EP won't have a team at that girls' week or youth week. And I think I was at training at the time, and when I heard those news, I got parents calling me, saying, Ati, is this true? What's happening? My girl's in the room. She hasn't came out. And she's been crying for the past 3 to 4 hours. Is it true that, you know, this is not, that it's not happening anymore? Then other parents would call. And then she'd say the same thing. Like, what's happening? I see, you know, the young girl's quite distraught. What's the news? She's not really saying much. And I called a few people and, yeah, they said, no, they don't have money. They're not going anymore. And that moment for me was, it was heartbreaking because you gave these girls the hope. You told them about, you know, wearing this jersey. You told them about pride in this jersey. You made them want to. And now that they're there, now that they've earned it, it's taken away from them. And like, how do I console these girls in the next training session? How do I make them believe that, you know, rugby is this thing? You can't change your life through the sport. You know, how do I convince them then when they first dream they've accomplished and they got let down? Which is very much a typical thing in that environment. Absent fathers, single parent-led households. So being let down is part of the norm. And it's like, you gave us this hope, but it's same thing again. Nothing new. And this is one of the biggest miracles of the year. So I tried to make a few calls and see, okay, how much do you guys need? I mean, surely they've made provision for you guys there. No, what is the issue? No, they don't have a bus. You know, and it's like 50 girls, you don't have a bus. So I look at bus quotes, I'm like, it's not going to happen this one. You know, I speak to my mother and then she's trying to organize. Now, we're not even part of the Eastern Province setup or the coaching setup. So she's just trying to organize to see what she can do. And wasn't really working out. I made a call to one of the SA Rugby people I know that just left Eastern Province. Springbok, I think Thando Manana, made a call to him. And I sent him the screenshots of what the girls are saying on the group, you know, how distraught they are, you know, and I think him seeing firsthand the effects and what these girls are going through because of this, he was able to make a few calls, and my mother was making a few calls, I was making a few calls, and we were able to get a bus that could fit 50 girls and take them to Valcom within 24 hours. You know, and, you know, there's no real, how can I say, medals, anything for that. But if I had to list biggest milestones of the year, that's probably right up there. And my mother and myself, we managed to raise about 10,000 rand for them to have food on the tour from various donors so that, you know, they don't have kit. They don't have tracksuits. They're the odd ones out. The last thing you want now is for them not to have that experience of going to a mall and having a pizza or getting some McDonald's, you know. So, you know, people gave with open hearts and we managed to raise a bit of money for them to go on and have an experience that is befitting of a provincial tour. I mean, the fact that they had to stand in a opening ceremony without any form of clothing that identifies them. You know, they had to identify with each other and understand that this is who we are, you know. And they were so happy, those girls. Because when you have nothing, something is everything. You know, so just for them being there was, they were enthusiastic. They didn't mind about the tracksuits. And the under 16 team became unbeaten. So they won 2 out of 2 games, becoming the only, I think, provincial side in the province, rugby side, that was unbeaten. The under 18s lost in the last game against the Lions, 17-14, and they were very much successful. And just to tie it up, I mean, the girls came from that provincial tournament, and then they started playing for Motherwell Rugby Women's. So now we had the schools, but now we had the rugby club. So so a lot of the girls fell into the rugby club, in which then I assisted coaching there. And we played in the Women's League, EP Women's League. And a highlight of that, we played against NMU now in the league game at NMU. And it was a night game. And obviously, a lot of our girls are at school still, you know, so it's exciting for them to play under lights. So we go to NMU and we played against, the NMU side now. Now, 2 weeks, for someone that doesn't know rugby, a two-week holiday where you're training every day, you're going to learn a lot. So we put a lot of things in place, and when we went to play NMU, they had a former woman Springbok who's coaching them. She's very vocal, you know, and in the warm-up game, she was very vocal. This is not a crash. How many players do you guys have? We had about 30 girls, so we were swapping everyone in and out in the first game. They still beat us 49 points. So now in the league game, first 5 minutes, and the girls were just executing, and it was one of the most beautiful, and I could see this lady, this coach standing next to me, she was stunned. She was stunned, and I'm on the sidelines, I'm excited, I'm like, yes, the girls are hot. You know, that's just the character I am, and I love seeing beautiful, you know, a plan come together, you know, so I'm excited. And we were 10 points, we were 5-0 up, and then they scored 2 tries, we were 12-5. But we absolutely dominated the game. We were dominant. We were brutal. Like, they were just outstanding. They were brutal. Sorry about the wording. But, yeah. And 15-10 down, 12-5 down with 10 minutes to go. And the referee had one of the worst refereeing performances. I'm sure every coach says that. But I remember thinking, I can't watch this anymore. You know, and I almost went and goes, and it sat in the car because I just couldn't watch a team be so dominant and have someone single-handedly take something they worked for away from them. And I almost went to the car and I was like, but you can't walk out on your team, you know? And the emotions, and if you walk out, then what are these girls going to take from this game? What lessons are going to take from this? So I decided, no, let me go stick it out. And we're behind the poles. They just scored the 12-1. There's 10 minutes left. And, you know, like, girls, we're just going to have to get it out the mud. You know, we're just going to have to dig deep, you know, with or without the calls. That's just how it's going to be. And we'll always remember this night as that special night in Summer Strand. It's up to you guys. You're clearly better. It's just up to you guys now. Yes, yeah. And we went and we scored. And then it wasn't over. And then we went again and we parked on the 5 meter and we scored again. And we won that game 15-12. Thanks. Those girls pulled that game through 15-12. They were in tears afterwards. And I told them, ladies, it will be 30 years down the line and we'll see each other and we'll remember that special night in Summer Strand. And we went on and we placed third in the EP Women's League. We lost in the semi-final to Kwaru, which is a powerhouse within SA Rugby. That was the first season for the girls. Now we're looking forward to the off-season. Andrew did provide us with a bit of equipment that we could use to at least put some sort of professionalism into the women's game and give them some sort of quality coaching that we would get at our Model C schools, you know, and our vision for 2023 is to have a year end where we acknowledge them and their efforts. And our vision for 2023 is to really push on. And one of the biggest stumbling blocks is the education factor. So our Rugby for Women Empowerment is about growing the individual holistically and not just the player. You know, and one of the disheartening things is having girls getting offers to universities, but then you're looking at their marks and you see, you know, maybe we were about a year too late. But now those other girls that are staying behind, those are the ones that we need to create a platform for. We need to make sure that even those that aren't academically strong, we have career expos where we have chefs coming in, where we have physiotherapists coming in. Understand, you don't have to be at the pinnacle of the sport to reach the pinnacle of the sport. You know, you can be a physiotherapist for the Springboks. You can be a doctor for the Springboks. So that's our vision for 2022, is to really round up the program to what it was supposed to be without the push now to get them rugby ready, but now really holistically develop them so that they're able to access these opportunities that we want to create. And it's not going to be easy. There's very many stumbling blocks. And, you know, Andrew said I should call upon those people who would like to be involved and would like to somehow have a helping hand in these ladies' lives and how we can create a program that is self-sustaining and that is sustainable. And I urge you guys, if it's in your heart, please feel free to come have a word. I can give you more insight about what we're trying to do and more detail as how we're looking to try and do that. But our mission and our purpose at this point in time is to try and revolutionize the women's game within Port Elizabeth. And you ask why? Because as I said, the single-led households, the single-parent-led households are mostly led by women. Single mothers raising children on their own. So who needs an opportunity to go study? Is it me that happened to catch the ball and happened to run a bit faster than the others? Or is it the person that's bearing life that has to raise a life? So it's with that that I end, and I can go all day, so I'm just going to sit down. Thank you very much, Andrew. Thank you, Pastor Trevor. And thank you for having me, guys. Have a good day.